So that was Spirit Talk with Israel Hurtado. You can visit IsraelHurtado.com, IsraelHurtado.com, to find out more information about the work of Israel Hurtado, the healer of the soul. It's time now for our second segment this evening, and that's Dr. Arnie Buss. He received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues, and in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. He's also a distinguished Toastmaster, and in 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. No mean feat. Dr. Buss joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the first and third Thursdays of each month. Let's listen to Dr. Arnie Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Thank you, Solazar, and I guess I wasn't listening carefully enough when I jumped in. But welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As he mentioned, I'm your host, Arnie Buss, for this segment. Speaking of Listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart, from your aware heart, as I like to call it. And you can contact me for information about my upcoming workshops. You can go to my website, which is consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word, consciousawareheart.com. Or you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. And as I'm fond of saying, that listening is not just about hearing what the other person is saying. It's more than that. It's about engaging in a dialogue, in a deeper conversation that gets to the bottom of what's really going on. And the most effective use of this is when somebody has a problem or something that they need to talk out about. And as I've mentioned in previous segments, a lot of the standard ways that we have of responding, which is by giving advice and offering suggestions and telling them how they can fix their problems, is not a very effective way in terms of helping them. If you think about it, the meta message that you're giving when you give advice in any circumstances, you're basically saying the other person is too dumb to figure it out on their own, at least that seems to be what's implied at times. So today, I'm going to focus on questions. Now, one of the things that I've noticed in all the reading that I do, and I try to keep up on so many different approaches to effective listening, but one common theme that I see in most others is they encourage asking questions during listening. And that is, and I have to say that asking questions is better than offering advice. It's better than making the person wrong. But I'm going to talk a little bit about what my observations of that are and some problems with the whole energy of asking questions in that context. So this is where the effective communication that I teach is different than most of the other ones that you might hear, because I do not recommend asking questions, which seems very counterintuitive. However, I recommend something called a gentle probe in place of a question, and I'll talk to you about what that's about. So first, I want to talk about asking questions and kind of what that's about. So many approaches to listening recommend asking questions, and you know, and the reasoning sounds fairly sound. It seems kind of reasonable. The idea is that it conveys that you're interested and you want to know about the information, and you want to know what the speaker is saying instead of offering your own opinion. And as I said, that's marginally better. In fact, you know, not every question is problematic, and I just want to briefly talk about four different types of questions. There are informational questions where you're asking about information. There are close-ended questions which tend to kind of actually shut things down. That's a problem with them. There are open-ended questions that are intended to open things up, and they can be effective. And then finally, there are entrapping questions. I'll get to each of those. So first, informational. So with informational questions, you're just seeking information. Now, if you're, it's like, where's the soup? Or where are the cans? Just seeking information. Now, sometimes embedded in an informational question can be an entrapping question, a little barb underneath it, So what happened to the things that I put here, for example? And when you ask it that way, you're making the other person wrong. You're being accusatory. But if you're asking for pure information, which way to the, to the bus station, you're not making anybody wrong. You're just asking for information. However, in the context of listening, so remember that we're talking about a situation where the other person is speaking and you're listening. First of all, asking a question, if it's not germane to where the speaker is going, it can be very disruptive. In other words, it can kind of interrupt the flow of things and lead off into a tangent. So, for example, the other person might start off by saying, "Can you believe what Joe told me before the movie?" And and you might say, "Oh, what movie did you see?" Okay, what that does is the other person was expressing some angst, some feelings. And by asking what movie he saw, you're just kind of taking him totally out of that, and you're totally not getting what they were about. Now, an informational question, it can be, again, somewhat helpful. So in an approach that would recommend asking questions, if it's germane to what they're saying, and if it doesn't, if there's something that you feel that you need to know as a listener, and you don't have the information, then again, the first step, I'm going to talk about asking it as a question, and then later I'll talk about how you can change it into a gentle probe. But just sticking with the question part, they would say, "Can you believe what Joe told me, before we went to the movies?" And the question might be, what did he say? So that's better than the previous response, which diverted attention from really what was going on and kind of directed them back to, okay, what's going on? And as a question, that's not bad, but there's a better way that I'll talk about later. The next type, closed-ended question, and this is a mistake that we often make, and I confess to having made it when I had teenage sons, but it's a mistake we often make with our children, or especially when they get to be a little bit older. A closed-ended question can be answered with one or two words, or a yes or a no, and what it does, it just tends to just stop the dialogue in its tracks, regardless of what your intent was. It can also make the other person feel interrogated. I mean, that's kind of why it tends to shut things down. So, so did you like the movie? Or things like, how was your day? What did you do in school? The last one especially, what did you do in school? Nothing, And the other thing is that remember the context of listening. We're talking about a situation where you're listening, and in all of these, you're taking the initiative. And if the other person, if you're listening to what the other person is saying, so for example, if you're so fortunate as to have your child be telling you about your day, then asking these questions can really kind of slow down the whole conversation. And furthermore, questions like this, like, how was your day or what did you do today, this is you taking the initiative. This is you being the speaker and the other person being the listener. So on the other hand, you know, let's say your daughter comes home from school. You know, let's say she's in middle school and she's clearly upset. And you might ask a question, you know, what happened at school? And, of course, she's going to say nothing. Or, you know, nothing or grunts are a very common response that we hear from our school-age children and teenagers. And, you know, and I don't say that to make them wrong or to blame them. In fact, I think the culprit is just how we learn to ask and learn to interact with them. And what I've seen in people who use the skills, the listening skills that I'm talking about here, with teenagers, the results are absolutely miraculous. Because with young people, you know, they're still trying to figure out their emotions. They're still trying to, you know, to get settled. And when they feel interrogated, it just doesn't feel good to them. And so their defense mechanism is often to just kind of shut down or give one word or answers or grunts. And later when I talk about gentle probes and just in general, the kind of tracking responses that I've been talking about throughout this segment and the series of segments is so effective at opening up a dialogue, even with someone who seems to be shut down. Okay, so informational questions, close-ended questions. Now, open-ended questions are really kind of the best of this of the lot. And at their best, they invite the speaker to expand more and talk more instead of just kind of shutting it down. So instead of saying, did you like the movie? You know, yes, no. You might say, you know, what did you like about the movie? Or what was your favorite part of the movie? Instead of saying, you know, how was your day? You know, fine. You might say, you know, well, what was the high point of your day? What did you do that was exciting? Now, even these can make the other person feel interrogated. Again, there is something embedded in questions and just the energy in questions. You notice that the voice raises at the end of a question, and that tends to make each person feel interrogated. Now, in a listening context, again, these open-ended questions can be somewhat helpful. So, for example, if somebody is if you feel that there's more for them to say, you might, you know, is there anything more that you'd like to express about, talk about this? Or do you have any more ideas about what happened? Or, you know, how do you feel about that? Or what do you think about that? Again, these are open-ended questions. They're not bad, but they all can be improved on through gentle probes. And finally, the worst of the lot are entrapping questions. And that's when you're kind of being like a lawyer cross-examining a witness. Again, I don't mean to disparage lawyers, but if there's a witness on the stand, especially a hostile witness, then it can be problematic. And, you know, if you're a lawyer and you're cross-examining a witness, of course you want to be the most effective as possible. However, I'm not talking about that situation. We're not in a courtroom. We're with another person with whom we have a relationship that is valuable to us. So, you know, these kinds of questions, you know, where were you? Again, it's like, oh, hearing a question like that. I mean, if you were listening to that, And you heard that, the chances were there was a little part of you that cringed a little bit. Or, why did you do that? Or, why did you say that? Now, I sometimes watch Dr. Phil on TV, and, you know, and I think that there are a lot of good things that he has to say, but there are a couple things that I take issue with. And there are some questions that he sometimes asks that are extremely entrapping, like, what were you thinking? That's an expression I've heard a lot. And then just the other day, I heard him say something like, who are you people? And these kinds of questions are, you know, maybe he uses them as a device to kind of, you know, verbally smack someone up the side of the head to kind of get their attention. But in a dialogue with someone with whom you're in a relationship with, these kinds of questions are not effective. So those are the four questions. Types of questions: informational, close-ended, open-ended, and entrapping. And they all have their some might have their use, but even the best ones, you know, the problem with the questions, as I've demonstrated, sometimes they can be entrapping or close-ended and tend to shut the dialogue down. And even when they're not, they can have an adverse effect on the dialogue. See, the objective of effective listening via this tracking approach that I've been talking about is to help move the speaker, you know, from their head into their aware heart. You want to move them out of their child, where they're being a victim, into their heart, where they're okay with themselves and okay with everybody. Now, there's actually a physical, almost an energetic locus of this. When you're in your aware heart, you literally feel it in your heart. And so, on the other hand, when you're answering a question, you know, you must go into your head to find the answer. Again, like if I'm asked a question, and that means I have to go find the answer. And where does the answer lie? The answer lies in my head. So that directs the speaker's attention away from their heart and up toward their head. And that's not where we want them to be. Even raising your pitch at the end of a sentence, you know, feels energetically like a question, regardless of the words being said. Maybe you've heard a lot about this up-talking thing that people do, you know. So, you know, I'm from Monterey. But the thing about up-talking is that it really, in this context, so regardless of the words, it feels like a question. It energetically feels like a question, and it can either make the person feel entrapped or interrogated or direct them to their head to try to answer it. So maybe you have a question that you're asking. So what if, as a listener, a question pops into your head? I mean, this is where this comes from. So the idea is not to, if there's a question that you have, if there's information that you want to find out, and you feel that information is germane to either your understanding more deeply where the speaker is coming from or helping to move the dialogue forward, the idea is to change the question into a questioning statement, which is called a gentle probe. And the idea of a gentle probe, the key word is gentle. So with a question, you are probing. You're probing for an answer. So that the probe part is the same whether it's a question or whether it's a questioning statement. But the key is gentle. By turning a question into a statement, then you're making it more gentle. You're moving away from the energy of accusation or the energy of entrapping or the energy of having the speaker have to move into their head to try to figure out what the answer is. And, you know, and it's uncomfortable. When asked the question, they may not know the answer. And so if you don't know the answer, that can feel very uncomfortable, kind of maybe a throwback to the days of school where a teacher will call on you and you haven't done your homework and you don't know how to answer and you feel embarrassed. Maybe we've all had experiences like that as children, and energetically that can kind of tap into things. All right, so I've been talking a lot about a gentle probe, but what is a gentle probe? A gentle probe is taking a question and turning it into a statement and expressing it as a statement. And let me start with some examples. Okay, so instead of saying, you know, what happened, you say, ah, so something happened. Can you feel the energetic difference between the two? Okay, what happened versus, so something happened. Say the voice drops at the end, energetically you're helping to actually drop the person into their heart. And instead of going into their head to figure out what happened, it's like they're kind of consulting their internal heart to find what's happened. Why might you say this? Well, again, maybe your school-age daughter comes home and you can tell by the energy that she has that something happened. And, you know, so instead of saying what happened, you know, so maybe maybe something happened, just gentles it even more. So instead of saying, is there more that you'd like to say? you could say, well, maybe you'd like to say more, or maybe have more that you'd like to express. Again, do you hear the difference between the question and the statement? I'd say, you know, don't you want to go? Oh, well, you know, now why are you saying that? Why are you asking that? Well, because maybe you've heard something that the other person has said that indicates that they'd that maybe they'd rather not go. So say that. So maybe you'd rather not go. You know, and the answer might be, I'd like to go. Or it might be, I'm really not into it. Instead of saying, why did you do that? You know, again, so you did that for a reason. Again, when you say these gentle probes, they tend to pull the speaker kind of more into you rather than push them away from you. So, you know, why are you feeling sad? Again, that can just feel so intrusive. You might say, so you're sad about something or something has made you sad. Again, by gentling it, you give the other person a little bit of space to just kind of consult their feelings and see whether it's true or not. So instead of searching their brain for an answer, they're kind of just consulting their interior self about it. And I know that may sound a little vague, but when you see this in action, it makes all the difference in the world. A lot of times as a listener, we know, quote, know the answer to the question because they've said it. And so why ask it? So, we just out of habit, you know, so but in that case, stating as a gentle probe can make all the difference in the world. So instead of saying, why didn't you like it? You might say, so there was something about it that you didn't like. Or why didn't you like it? So you didn't like it. Energetically, again, the speaker, in order to respond, tends to go into their heart. And so instead of going up to their head for an answer, that they hold they hear the gentle probe and they can take it in and just kind of hold it up against what they're feeling. And it may be a match or it may not be a match, but either way, they're not thinking about it. They're more feeling about it. So every statement, every question can be turned into a statement. Every question can be turned into a gentle probe. And when you're listening, you never want to use an entrapping or close-ended question, regardless of how you word it. You want to be keeping the other person okay. You want to be creating a space, an environment in which they feel safe. And regardless of what they say, that they're not going to be made wrong, they're not going to be criticized, and they're not going to be blamed. So in this segment, just to recap, I've talked about asking questions, which is recommended by many approaches, and I've discussed the problem with that often these questions can arise, and I've given you an alternative, and that alternative is the gentle probe, which turns a question into a questioning statement, and as a statement, it tends to move the other person into their aware heart. And that's the segment for this time. You have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio, and I've been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate your joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every first and third Thursday at 5:35 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about this and more on the workshops and other capabilities, you can visit my website, again, at consciousawareheart.com. You can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. I also have a Facebook page at AwareHeart, all one word, and a Twitter feed that's been a little bit dormant lately, but I'm planning on starting up again and tweeting my heart out. But my Twitter handle is effect5com. That's effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
So I want to thank Dr. Arnie Buss for his segment, Speaking of Listening. You got his information about connecting over to A.H. Buss at awareheart.com. He's here the first and third Thursdays of every month. We'll be back Monday at noon with Kirilani doing her segment, Go With the Flow, as we go into the closing of this month of unconditionality and Christ consciousness. And as we close out today's show, I'd like to do Disturbed and their version of Sound of Silence, because it adds a whole new level of understanding. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and our segment hosts, Israel Hurtado and Dr. Arnie Buss. Remember to turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings. Namaste.
Silence.